We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hey everyone, I wanted to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of all that, we'll get you your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That is bwhustle.com/join.
Neil, what's up, my man?
What is up, Sam? I was, this game had the feeling of that Michael Scott gif, like, I'm ready to get hurt again.
I love it. Intern Neil.
They figured it out. It was a good win. Or Steph, I thought he made some really weird turnovers at the end, like, with the, I think he had, like, one bad pass and like the offensive foul, but it was a good win. Good win.
Pacers are a good team. That was kind of a grinded out game. I wouldn't put this on the Warriors highlight reel at the end of the year of my favorite games, but big win. Pacers back to back, good team at home. Neil, we appreciate you. I think Andy's here now. Let's see what the man has to say. Andy, you there?
I thought that was a good win. I thought that was a fun win. I thought that was one of the best wins of the season. And, you know, it was ugly. Like, last night's game was ugly, Sam. But it's a good Pacers team. Their record isn't great, but they're a good team. I thought it was one of the better wins this season. I'm watching Draymond Green act like he's a hero after prevailing through the tough times of himself throwing away the Charlotte game. So I think the post game is pretty funny. But a good win overall.
I do agree with you. Every time Draymond speaks now, I think of Michael Scott. You know, am I a hero? It's hard to say. But yes. Let's see. Where do we want to start with this? We want to give a couple more people time to get in here, or should we just start get going?
We can give them a few seconds. few seconds here. We're what are we at? 40, 50. We're usually at 100 plus. Yeah, I mean, that was a oh man, I'm watching Steph right now just turn the ball over. Just good times with this game.
Well, let's start on Fitz. The Fitz line of the game.
We'll start on Fitz, okay.
Well, we got to start. You know, Huey let us know he gave Kalina a 6.1 on this game, so that's good. But at one point in the first half, Fitz was doing a podcast, and he let everyone know James Wiseman likes to be known as J-Dub or Big Jim. And I don't believe him at all. Do you believe him? Do you believe James Wiseman is out there telling Fitz, call me J-Dub or Big Jim?
I guarantee you the conversation went, hey, James, got an idea for you. What if I call you Big Jim? James over there like, I don't know. You know what? That sounds good to me. Let's roll with that. That's exactly how the conversation went. You think Fitz cares what James Wiseman thinks?
By the way, everyone requesting to speak, we're going to get to you. Give it about 10 minutes or so. Yeah, I don't know. Big Jim seems like a guy who should be wearing some serious worker boots, maybe a red flannel. Definitely has a big belt buckle, lets you know it too. Drives an F-150, may have something hanging from the back bumper. Don't tread on me, maybe.
Why is this so specific? Why is this so good?
I have a lot of experience. I went to Davis. I've been around a lot of country boys. So I can just only speak from my life experiences. But
usually when you play basketball against those types of people, they're pretty sturdy. They don't move. They don't get pushed around. And every time I watch James Wiseman get the – you know what? Actually, you know, I take that back.
That's the dichotomy. Yeah, so I wanted to get into Wiseman later in the show, but I guess we should let's do Wiseman right now. So this was not a good James Wiseman game. I also think Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis are two of the best bigs in the league. And, you know, I want Miles Turner to dominate the mediocre bigs and, you know, get better against the better bigs. But I'm not expecting a 19-year-old to dominate Miles Turner, who might win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, it was a tough one. And Miles Turner, you know, not as it was shocking to me that how much bigger James Wiseman is than Miles Turner. Miles Turner, not a small guy. And I'm just watching him run, and I'm like, here's the thing. James Wiseman, just as quick, just as fast, just as like flexible as Miles Turner, twice as big, which is insane to me. And Miles Turner is a very good basketball player. But again, 5 years in the league. Right. So he's going to be better than Wiseman. He's got his set of skills that you got to guard against. And then Sabonis, who Wiseman didn't really guard that much, but Sabonis is another guy with a different set of skills. Right. He's going to go right through Wiseman. He's going to pump fake. He's got to, like, you know, the guy fouled out Sam in like 8 minutes of PT or whatever it was. So, yeah, tough on both ends. But I was a little bit more positive just because maybe the expectations for me were lower. Like, I didn't come in here thinking that he'd play very well. But I think to me, he's an instant bucket just by being big and fast on the floor right now. The possession where he just outran Turner and just had a dunk, because like that to me is just like, I mean, that's 10 points a game if he can just stay on the floor. So, you know, the defense, the catching, all the other stuff is rough. But, you know, I'll take it at this point.
By the way, I got to give a shout out to Warrior Twitter. Rue has just thrown up some amazing memes. Does Warrior Twitter have the best memes on the internet?
I don't know how they come up with this stuff. It's amazing.
I love it. And you know what? We got to keep it going. Luke says yes. I agree, Luke. They do have the best memes. Anyway, back to your point. You know what? It was a bad game for Wiseman. I don't know how else to put it. I think, you know, it's a matchup that's going to be tough for him. Miles Turner is coming into his prime. Domantas Sabonis is kind of coming into his prime. It is what it is. Am I worried that he couldn't hang with big men who are borderline elite? Not really, but I do agree with you. The size thing jumped out to me too, where you're just like, if he figures it out, like that difference between 6'11 and 7'1, that difference between a 7'4 wingspan, a 7'8 wingspan, it's pretty massive. You know, it's like you don't understand how big Rudy Gobert is, for example, or Joel Embiid, how big they are until you see them against a run-of-the-mill center, right? And that's kind of what I'm taking from Wiseman. You know, we still have questions if the timeline will fit or how fast it will take.
Right.
But the potential is through the roof.
Fascinating. And by the way, Sam, do me a favor, toss the link to Twitter while I'm talking here. The locker room link.
Okay.
But the potential is fascinating to me. Like, just I think I'm LaMelo Ball comes in place on Friday. Draymond Green after the game was saying how it was like redemption. Chris Mullin talking it's a revenge tour, and I'm just sitting here like, what? But I think that'll be fun. It's like one of the storylines for the Warriors this season is LaMelo versus Wiseman. And I think a lot of people are taking it in a way that it's like, well, you should have done this and you should have done that. LaMelo is awesome. I think it's a fun comparison. I think it's, look, that's what makes sports great, right? Like Steph Curry, LeBron James. Steph fans don't really like LeBron. LeBron, same thing, right? Warriors, Cavs, big rivalry. Like, that's fun stuff. Not saying these guys are the same, but it's like, it'll be really interesting to watch LaMelo. You know, LaMelo play his style. He's got to be better. You have to be after last time. And then James Wiseman against a Charlotte team that doesn't have any bigs. Like, he should be able to feast too, as long as Draymond and Steph are on the floor. But if James Wiseman can be a taller Miles Turner, Sam, what type of player is that, right? Like, is that third team NBA? Is that second team NBA? Like, if he's a taller, more athletic, so he's better defensively, and he's even better offensively because nobody can actually guard him shooting a three and actually finishing in the post. So I mean, that might be a third, second team all-star kind of, not all-star, all NBA kind of guy. So the potential is amazing.
A 7-1 Miles Turner is better than Rudy Gobert, but he's not better than Embiid or Anthony Davis. So
no,
I don't have a problem with that because that's kind of what I saw Wiseman's ceiling as, in my opinion, where, okay, I don't think the Warriors were getting Embiid or Anthony Davis, kind of these like, unicorn of unicorn big men, right? But I think they're getting a guy who can be damn good. And I think if you're telling me he's going to be a bigger Miles Turner, I take that every day of the week, right? Like, you know, yeah. Like that's LaMelo may be better than that. He might not. But if he ends up being that good, you're not going to walk away from the draft going like, oh man, they made a huge mistake.
No. And I think, nobody's expecting him to be the next Anthony Davis or Rudy Gobert, but let's flip this. A lot of James Wiseman here for 10 minutes. Let's flip this. Where do you want to go next?
Let's okay. So the topic I really wanted to start on was Draymond Green, but you know, we get in a tangent. You know how you and I get. Like, I have a rundown and we hit every topic, just not in the order I saw it in my head. So Draymond, 10 points. The Warriors are now officially 6-0 when Draymond scores.
Jesus Christ.
What was it? I saw the stat. Was it more than 8 points? It might have been something like that, which I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know. You could take it both ways. On the one hand, when Draymond's an offensive threat, they're a very tough team to beat. On the other hand, I really wish he was an offensive threat more often, right?
Yes, he had a few plays today.
8 points, by the way. So
8 points. Yeah, few plays today. Same thing, right? Just kind of just being hesitant, turning the ball over, but then made two free throws at the end, made two big free throws, and then had a drive to the rim with, of course, Steph setting the screen for a wide open dunk. So, and then he had a play where it's so sad that with Draymond, you remember every single bucket. And then he had a play where he was going down the lane, and I'm not really sure what he was trying to do. But he kind of threw the ball up, and I couldn't tell if it was alley-oop or not. But either way, it went in, bounced off the rim like four times. Classic. So just, you know, he is what he is. I'm curious your thoughts on the Draymond-Wiseman pairing, because that's really what we're going to see for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, and whether that's going to work.
Oh, we're not seeing that for 5 years. there's no way Draymond's in the starting lineup in 5 years. What I was going to say is, yeah, so – to me, the real issue with Draymond scoring is the worse it gets, the more he has to play the five. And the more he has to play the five, the less you can play Looney or Wiseman. You just took Wiseman 2 overall. So you really need Draymond to be able to play more than just the five position, right? So that's kind of where – that's a fundamental issue with Draymond's offense. Like, the more DeRozan you have to play him at the five, and it kind of forces these tactical decisions that suck. And that's the issue. But with that said, Wiseman does have the potential to be the kind of player you can play Draymond with, and you can get away with the fact that Draymond's maybe only scoring 7 or 8 points a game. Because if Wiseman does fulfill his potential, he's going to be a guy who can hit the outside shot. He's going to be a guy who beasts people inside because he's huge and athletic and everything in between. And, you know, it's not going to be Kevin Durant, but it's going to be that type of multifaceted scorer that lets Draymond be the de facto least scoring player on the floor.
And the most fun I'm thinking of is defensively, is if Wiseman is a 4-block-a-game machine and he's grabbing up boards, which, you know, kind of a problem right now, but let's say he's grabbing boards in traffic. Awesome, almost a game-winning rebound by Draymond there, a tip to himself at the end. Thought that was amazing. Right now, he kind of has to do all of that by himself. So I am most interested and fascinated by seeing James Wiseman and Draymond defensively, you know, 2 years from now, year from now, 3 years from now, because if Draymond has the ability to kind of say, I don't have to protect the rim, you know, I don't have to worry about kind of Sabonis cutting on the backside every single play and just kind of blow up the defense, all of these kind of pick and roll, short roll kind of guys, kind of plays, he's going to be even better. And Wiseman's going to make his life is going to be even easier. So, you know, it's
awesome. But don't we have to get back to the same point? Draymond tonight was 4 or 5 from the field. He had 4 free throws. He attacked the paint enough. You know, I'm more happy when Draymond tries to dunk on someone and misses.
Well, I'm talking
when he does, when he, I know, but like, I know he can play defense. None of that matters to me if he can't play offense, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, I think we both agree that that ain't coming. Like, what does it take for him to actually try to actually shoot the ball? Because that's not something that goes away. You can always try to shoot the ball. Kelly Oubre shot the ball, even though he was shooting 20% from the three, right? Like, he was still shooting the ball. Draymond Green, what does it take for him to actually want to shoot the ball? What's his problem? And we don't know. Sam, if you knew, shit. But let the people know. I don't know. Like, what would it take for Draymond to actually want to shoot the ball? I don't think he's that bad. Maybe he is.
I don't know, but it needs to be a focus of the Warriors going into next season. I kind of thought this was going to be his redemption tour offensively.
Yeah.
And no, he just got worse than last year. But we're seeing signs that maybe it's improving. Like, I don't want to overreact to one game. He did have 12 points tonight, any more than I want to.
Oh, 12.
Overreact to his 8 games in a row where he combines for 12 points. So, it's one of those things where we just kind of see where it goes. But I think we all agree big picture wise, we need Draymond to be able to hit shots when teams don't guard him.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top 3 things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need Draymond to attack the rim when they give him a wide open lane. I'm not asking Draymond to take step back jumpers. I'm not asking Draymond Green to even replicate the player he was in 2016. I'm asking Draymond to take what the defense gives him. If he takes what the defense gives him, he's like an A-plus at like 18 other aspects of basketball that they'll be fine. I just need him to
– Yep.
You know, when they throw 2 bodies at Steph and he has a wide open lane, go in there. Yes. If you can't finish it, get the free throws and make your free throws. Like, that's all I'm asking.
Thank you. It's not hard. I agree. Should we get to some callers? We're not going an hour today, guys. Well, we'll try not to. We'll
probably 59 minutes.
We'll try not to go an hour.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
Let's get some callers.
We do have a bunch of callers. Okay. Let's start that off now. Okay.
Let's rip them.
If you want to speak, request to speak. We're going to go in order. Ooh, first request has come in from our guy.
Oh, there we go.
With the
on a bad Steph shooting night. Classic.
With the most brotastic picture of all time. God. Tommy Gunn. I just want to make it clear. There is nothing more bro-y than the Davidson jersey with no shirt underneath and a drink in hand.
Jesus.
And sunglasses indoors in the nighttime.
God.
Sunglasses indoors and like portable speakers in my hand. So it was just, it was Palm Springs pre-pandemic, you know, normal life. A long time ago, a distant memory.
it's different for Tommy. It's different.
So a couple things, actually. On the Draymond point, I do understand what you guys are saying. It is concerning that he can't score. Number one, he has shown signs that it is getting maybe a little bit better. I think he attacked the rim slightly more aggressively tonight, at least more aggressively than he had been. And he's elevating around the rim better. But the overall point is, we know what Draymond can be when he's optimized. Why aren't we doing more to do that? Like, counting on a rookie to be that guy that helps optimize him is just like, it's just a risky bet. And I keep coming back to that. Like, just betting on a young guy, and it's not a Wiseman thing. It's just, it feels so risky to bet on a young guy to be the savior for the franchise instead of getting a guy who's like Miles Turner, right? Like, he was available this summer, and we talked about it ad nauseum. It doesn't have to be him, but just somebody like that who can kind of mask some of Draymond's deficiencies, because we know how good Draymond can be when he is optimized.
So you're saying, why have the Warriors not gone more all in on the fact that they still have one of the 2 to 3 best players in the NBA, Steph Curry, one of the most unique first ballot Hall of Famers in Draymond Green? Why are they betting on James Wiseman, who we all think will be a fine player, but, you know, maybe he's a couple of years away?
I think will probably
instead
be
of
a future all-star if he realizes potential. Like, he'll be a really, really good player, but he's,
as opposed to someone like Miles Turner, who's very much in his prime right now,
who's probably going to be the defensive player of the year. It's going to be him or Gobert.
That's a good question, Andy. Why do you think they did not? Why do you think they're not all in? Why do you think they're doing? Because I feel like this is a fundamental thing we talk about all the time, where the Warriors are trying to play both sides.
Yes.
Where they're, you know, they say they want to compete because they have these three guys who are special, one of them being like all time special. But they also want to develop for the long term. And, you know, it's kind of like pick. It's very hard to do both, right?
That's the part. That's the part. They don't want, because to get Miles Turner, and who knows if he was actually on the table or not, it seems like Danny Ainge probably should have done that trade. shouts to the Celtics being under 500. But I don't.
You mean Warriors East?
Jeez.
Sorry.
You can't. Hey.
No, I mean, I can't. I come up with a shtick and I stick to it. No.
Why they can't do it? They just didn't want, like, I don't know what else to say. Like, they didn't want to do Wiseman in the pick. Like, actually, what, Tommy? What would you do Wiseman in the Minnesota pick for Miles Turner?
I don't think it would have taken both. I think it could have been the number two pick and they could have aggregated some contracts somehow with a couple moves. I'm not saying it would have been simple, but Indy was obviously shopping him this year. They were okay giving him up to Boston, and there were multiple reports that they were okay letting him go. My point is, I'm not saying it would have been easy, but it's something they could have done. Turner shoots threes, which helps with Draymond not being able to shoot threes ever. And he's a really good player, too. Like, he's what you want your back line to be.
I mean, you're not going to get any complaints with me. I will put this up, and let's say this. Do you think James Wiseman is more valuable than the number two pick was pre-draft?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He's shown enough to be more valuable than that, yes.
Yeah, because going into the draft, we were all under the impression that, like, every player was Jan Vesely. And they're clearly more talented than that. So I do think the Warriors have to commit to a timeline at some point. But right now, they have – this asset is better than what they had beforehand. And no matter how you want to put it, when Clay went down, they weren't ready to go all in on anything this year anyway. As frustrating as that is for Warrior fans to hear, outside of Giannis being available or Anthony Davis or Embiid, I don't think they're ready to just make one of those win-now trades until they see Clay on a basketball court again.
I think before he went down, I think they thought they could win the championship without making that trade. And you can argue whether that's right or wrong. I also think, like, we all thought Draymond would be better than this offensively. So it's like, we all kind of thought, hey, he'd probably get to 30% this season, right? Like, he's not going to be a complete negative like he is-ish right now.
I think he would have been better offensively if they had another shooter on the
floor. If Clay was like there,
Like, Draymond looks really bad offensively, but a lot of times he's playing with Looney and Oubre and Wiggins. Like, none of those guys face the floor. Even Oubre, when he's making shots, nobody really cares. You know, he just kind of gets to shoot open shots either way.
Girls care.
And it's worth... It's also worth noting, who knows how the Warriors, let's pretend Clay never tore his Achilles, and the Warriors are like the three seed. They might be more willing to trade Wiseman or go all in if they're like, dude, we're like one player away, you know, like in season, as opposed to right now where it's very clear, you know, I don't know how many more times Steve Kerr has to say, that's not what this season is about. So it's frustrating, but I think that's kind of where we're at with them. And I don't know, as a fan, I don't know what you do with that other than, you know, enjoy the show every night and just kind of see what happens long term, right?
Totally. No, I mean, you guys are right, especially with the Clay thing. Nobody saw that coming. One more thing, and then I'll hop off and let some other people get on. I think Eric Paschal's had some really good defensive games lately. Like, he's understanding when to rotate better, when to show, when to hedge, when to stun at a ball handler. Just doing a better job overall, sliding his feet, guarding post guys. And he's not the only one. I think Wiseman's been better since he's been back from injury, just kind of understanding how to play within a team defensive scheme. But specifically with Paschal, what do you think? I mean, what could have gotten into him? Because we didn't see any signs of this his first year and a half as an NBA player.
I think a lot of it is he can't. Do we agree that he looks like he's hobbled out there? Like, partly, I don't know why he's playing if he's injured, because it's not like they need Eric Paschal. I mean, they needed him tonight to win. But it's not like they, like, look, Ken Bazemore lose a few, like, if these guys aren't good enough to where it's like, well, we need you out there to play, right? Like, I don't mind if he sits for a week to get healthy. Like, he probably should be doing that to begin with. But I think two things with Paschal, because it does seem like he is a little bit smarter mentally, if that's what you're trying to say, both offensively and defensively. The problem to me is, like, dude, who's going to teach this guy how to shoot the ball? Because it's all cute and stuff, the fact that he can get to the hole and all that. But if you're an undersized four, undersized five, you can't shoot that. You can't shoot like that from three. You just can't.
I agree with you. With regards to the defense, I just want to answer. By the way, Tommy, we appreciate you kicking off the stage. I think Paschal has feel in general. Like, he knows how to play basketball to a degree. And young players get better at defense. Do I think Paschal will be an elite defender? Probably not. But I do think young players improving at defense when they have a certain amount of feel, it happens over time, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Antonio, what's up, my man?
What's up? So I was going to ask you guys a question I was going to ask yesterday, but you guys didn't get to it. But I was gonna ask. So yesterday I woke up, saw the Porzingis rumors or whatever. I really don't think that they're going to do a trade like that, but I was just, it was interesting looking at the reaction to it. It was funny seeing those ones where it's like the Warriors got to give up Wiggins and and Wiseman and the Minnesota pick for Porzingis and Josh Green. That was funny. But like some real, more realistic ones just had Wiggins and a pick for Porzingis. And to me, I was just like, I personally wouldn't even want to give up Wiggins for Porzingis just because of his health. And I don't know, I just feel like Wiggins works better for the team. But some people were saying, don't be that guy that it's like, oh, we don't want to trade Tyler Hero to get James Harden. But I don't think it's like that at all. And I'd like to know you guys' opinion, like with Wiggins and Porzingis.
Yeah, that's not happening. Don't worry about it. Kristaps Porzingis is like the classic player that the Warriors don't want. He's a soft big. And like the only thing at this point that he could shoot, that he can do is be very tall and like kind of shoot the basketball kind of well. Like, he's a good shooter for how tall he is.
He's shooting it well. But
he's
yeah.
shooting it. But it's like you're soft. You can't play defense. He can't move because of the injury. So I feel bad. But it is like that's who he is. So that's how you evaluate him. And like for the Warriors, Sam, would you even do Andrew Wiggins for James Wiseman? I mean, sorry, Andrew Wiggins for Kristaps Porzingis?
I would not. And actually, I appreciate you bringing up Wiseman because to me, the fundamental reason why, you know, I want the Warriors to be opportunistic to acquire a player like Porzingis in the sense of like, you know, a talented player who's maybe undervalued. You know, like that's kind of what they did with Wiggins, right? Like he was undervalued.
Yep,
they got him and he looks a lot better. But the problem is, if you get Porzingis, what are you doing with Wiseman? So it makes no sense to trade for Porzingis unless you're trading Wiseman. And I'm not trading Wiseman for, let's just say I want a player of more certainty, of better value than Porzingis if I'm trading Wiseman. So maybe it would have been interesting to me if the Warriors didn't draft a center at number two. But as far as I'm concerned, nah.
Yeah. Get that out of here. All right.
We appreciate you, Antonio. Sorry we didn't get to you last night. All right, let's keep it going.
Shout out to Antonio. I think he's made it on every locker room so far. It's awesome.
Go Jordan Poole. Even with the 10 turnovers, got those 30 points.
Did see the 10 turnovers. Just how do you get 10 turnovers in the G League? You're playing me and Sam. That's disrespectful. G League is good. But good for Jordan Poole. Maybe, well, actually, Sam, while you wait to bring someone else on, Brad Wanamaker played well today. I had no Brad Wanamaker slander today. Made a couple shots and then turned the ball over and dribble out of bounds. You know, did he play well? You know, look, if the expectations are that he's going to be the worst basketball player of all time because that's who we've watched all season, I'll take it. I'll take this.
Antonio, we appreciate your question. We're going to keep moving as soon as the app lets us ask the next person to come on. But in general, okay, let's try to think of other players like Porzingis who might fit the profile of a player who needs a change of scenery, because I feel like that's where the Warriors are their best. I think we've discussed this on other podcasts in the past, but like maybe the Warriors aren't the best at scouting. No disrespect to a few of the draft picks in previous years. Maybe the Warriors, you know, aren't the best at developing those players, but what they're really good at is taking those guys who are in that like early to mid 20s range, like an Andrew Wiggins, who have a certain amount of talent, and really getting them going into the best of their ability.
I agree. And they've shown that they can do it. And they've shown that they can do it with guys during a season, which I think is pretty impressive. I think the fact that Kelly Oubre has become has progressively become a much better player through the last 20 games has been such a it speaks so well to the coaching staff. And I think so far with what Steve Kerr tries to do, because as much as I think like Steve Kerr should be bending his system to the players, if they are able to play the way that he wants, it works. Like it does work. The issue now is that they actually have to get them talented players. Like, why do you have Smiley, et cetera, right? But I think that bodes well, Sam, for someone like James Wiseman, who, look, they're not having him run pick and roll every single play, but if they can have him become a smarter player, and you look at a lot of these players in the league, Sam, it's like they kind of just play one way. Like, I think the problem with the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks and some of these teams is that they play one way. Houston Rockets, they play that one way. And someone like John Collins, Trae Young, they're not going to be able to play any other way. I think the Warriors, I think they are trying to kind of coach these players and develop them to be able to play the game in different ways, in a more versatile way. So, you know, I think that's a good thing for the coaching staff. We'll see how long it takes for James Wiseman to pick it up. Because, what, Kelly Oubre's fifth year in the season, and it took him 20 games, 30 games? Wiseman.